are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back and we are here on Mid-Morning Empowerment. And as I said, my name is Gunnar Ravingani, standing in for Zanele Zama today. And on the line, we are joined by Elder Patrick. How are you doing today, Elder?
I'm good, but not so good because I'm not feeling so well today. But let's go for it. But by God's grace, I'm fine.
Oh, you and I are in the same boat. May the Lord please be with us. I'm so sorry, Elder.
I've got dizziness. I've got dizziness at the same time. I've got a running stomach.
Oh no, Lord. Listen, we pray that God helps you through the day. Thank you so much for also taking out the time to come through for the conversation regardless of that. Thank you so much. So essentially, we're looking at the family focus, looking at the boy's bunker, his talents for God. And essentially, this is a parable, or essentially looking at this particular parable in the Bible, looking at how the master has entrusted his servants with talents as a form of currency before going away. The servants who invested and multiplied their talents were praised, while the one who buried his talents was rebuked. The parable teaches, the importance of stewardship, diligence, and using one's gift for the fruitful purpose. We kind of want to delve into how this parable can help boys to learn how to use their talents for God. What does the parable of the talents teach us about how God views the use of our abilities and resources?
Yeah. Praise God. Every parable that Jesus teaches, there's a lesson we need to pick up from there. The lesson that we need to take it and move forward with it. Remember, it's a parable. A parable is something that never happened. It's like in Zomi,
a Xhosa. Or a metaphor of sorts.
But if you remember our old folks, our old parents, they normally every time before we sleep, they told us in Zomi, blah, blah, blah. You see?
Sure.
And in that thing, there's a teaching that you and I need to pick up. So in this parable, Jesus Christ teaches us whatever God given us, we need to make use of it. Others were multiplied, others rebuked. So what is important, if God gave you a talent to preach, preach. Because that talent you didn't get from the university. You didn't get it from school, whatever I might call it. You got that from, it's a gift from God. That you need to make it. Preach, brother. Preach, my sister. Because God gave only you, no other else.
You need to make use of it.
Only you, and you need to make use of it.
Elder. Is it really fair, though? Because what if sometimes I feel like the market is very, clustered there, or like there's too many pastors already, or whatever the case may be? Why is the servant that buried their talent, rebuked? Does that sort of reveal, an expectation that God has when he gives you a gift?
Let's answer by this. You are not sure of what you are given.
For example, or maybe you are sure, but you just feel as though, enough people already do it.
No. Remember, I said to you, you are the only one who are given that talent to do it.
True.
Don't look at others.
Right.
God gave you
that talent.
Don't look at others. God gave you.
Okay.
So each and every person on planet Earth got its own purpose. Do you hear me?
Fully.
Even you at that studio, God gave you a talent to sit there in that studio and telling people the good news about Jesus Christ, about God. And there is no other person. It's only you. So it's your talent. So make use of it.
Right.
Don't be afraid of because of the other. There's another Msasa somewhere who's doing better than me.
No,
that the problem, the problem, if you compare, if you do a comparison, that's where the problem is going to start. Don't compare, but because God gave you, but God knows that you have power. The power that you have is the power that you can take it forward up until it reaches many people.
Right, right. And it's essentially focusing on the solo purpose, you know, journey, basically having that one-on-one relationship with God and also just focusing solely on your run with God before.
I like what you're saying. Sorry to cut you. I like what you're saying, relationship. Relationship. So your relationship between you and your master. So make sure that your relationship between you and your master is firm. Then tomorrow you won't be able to say, I'm afraid of preaching or I'm afraid of doing whatever God gave me. Because the relationship, this is why it's important that each and every moment, every time, every day, make your relationship becoming firm, more powerful between you and your God.
Right. So how does this concept of stewardship connect to the biblical idea of using one's talents for the glory of God?
For the glory of God.
Yeah.
We are all stewards. We are all stewards. That thing we know, we are all stewards. And God gave us every talent so that whatever, I like in the Seventh Adventist Church, I like in the Seventh Adventist Church because it's not only about Christ. It's at the same time only about you and the community.
Right.
How you respond between you and the community, like uhlala njani ne community yakho, uhlala kanjani nabantu ohleli nabo ku community yakho. So in that community of yours, you are the steward of God in that community. So the light that uThixo akunike yona, you need to put it on top of the table, not under the table, as that servant did. One of those seven was what he did. He put the talents under the table while others were multiplying their talents. So we are all stewards, and with the there's a steward of time, maybe there's a steward of blah 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 blah. You might call it, but in that community of yours, you are the one that God put you, so that when everybody in I know it's not they are not going to love you all. Some will hate you.
True.
Some will even want to chase you out of that community. We read the Bible. Paulus or Petros were chased, were killed, were slaughtered just for the word of God. But stand firm, because the power, as I said on Monday, the supernatural power that we are having is only from the one who gave us power to move forward. So we are all stewards. So be steward where you are, in your company, in your organization, in your church, everywhere, but be steward because God trusted you.
Right. And with this trust that is so endowed and so heavy and can, you know, sometimes feel overwhelming, how can, you know, boys or young men, you know, like, I think, you know, maybe... It starts off by being a boy and then, you know, growing into that man that you want to be. But how can boys identify and cultivate that God-given light or talent that you're speaking about, that ability? Are there certain steps that they can take to develop themselves further, or is it just about prayer? What can they do to cultivate and identify those talents?
Let's go to the story of Joseph. In Egypt. Joseph was so young. But I'm not going to go through the whole story because it can take us a long day. But Joseph in Egypt, although he was so young, but he managed to reveal God up even in the king's palace. Even in the king's palace. Let's go to the story of David. David was so young. David was so young. But what David did, he did something that even their old brothers never did it. He killed Goliath while they were afraid of Goliath. While they were soldiers who used to fight, who used to be at wars. But when Goliath was in front of them, they were so afraid. Up until God showed, up until David came in. And I like what David said, what the words come from the David's mouth. You, Goliath, cometh with me to me with a sword, with blood, with everything that we have. But I only come with you with only the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, of God. So these young men of us, they are in a very, very super, superpower pressure outside there. So we as parents, we as brothers, as sisters, we need to encourage our young boys, our young girls, even wherever they are, schools, they need to reveal what God has showed them to do, what God has bestowed on top of them so that they, so that, and I'm older today. I can't reach the young people. I must send a young people to reach their young people.
Right.
And it's nice today we have these social networks things. And these young folks, they are good at these things, at these social network
social
things.
Network.
So,
social media.
So these are weapons that God bestowed to them so that they can catch others by using those social media things. We old folks, we are old in these things. We don't know. It's these kids who are teaching us these things. It's these things, kids who are teaching us these things. So the power that God has bestowed to them, has given them, they make use of it, and God will multiply them, will multiply every time he's doing or she's doing, God multiplies, up until at the end, God will say, thank you so much, you good faithful servant, now enter the kingdom, because you were so faithful in small things up until now you are here in the kingdom of God.
So
whatever we want to,
sorry to interrupt, Elder. Granted, say now we have that together, we have this idea of what kind of relationship we want to have with God and how identifying those talents that he's given us, and now we're progressing in that way. But for some reason, education is not really my thing. In what ways can education and learning contribute to developing one's talent? And how does knowledge enhance our abilities that God has given us and help us serve him better? Or is it just, if you have God, you're good? You don't necessarily need the education. Is that true?
I won't say it's true. I won't say it's not true.
Good answer.
I won't say it's true. I won't say it's not true. But education goes its own course. And take it as a gift. Take it as a gift that God gave you talents. At the same time, God gave you an education.
Right.
So that you can reach those who are so high educated. Remember, they are so educated people. And there are people that God put there so that they can reach those people. Even if you go to the 12 apostles, others were educated. Others were not educated. But they all managed to reach everybody, even if they were not educated.
Sure.
And the word of God needs no education, needs no you to be educated. If God is with you, if God is with you, and if God helps you, you can do everything. I'm not saying education is wrong. Education is good, but it's a plus good if you also have an education so that you can reach those who are educated. I don't know whether you hear me. I don't know what I'm right. What I'm saying.
No.
Education is good. Education is good. I don't fight. Education is very good, but it's there are people that you need to reach at that certain level.
I understand
fully. You see, as long everything is on God's hands.
Right.
Don't put God away, even if you're educated, because education alone do nothing. Education alone without God, it's dead. You can be educated and you have so many degrees, but at the end of the day, if there is no God in that education, you are going down to the grave.
True.
With nothing. So those talents we have to use them.
and
as
you
much
aren't
as we can.
Particularly your circumstance, you know, if like it doesn't mean God does not love you if you're not able to gain access to education or further your education. God can still use you in those times, especially. I think that's the point that I was trying to get to, you know, like with the question is that like it's not about, you know, all of that, but you need to have God in everything that you do. And as you were making like a reference to the Bible, you were bringing up Paul, Joseph, and a number of examples.
Yes.
But could you just give us like maybe two more examples that come to mind in the Bible that use their unique talents for God's purpose, and what lessons we can learn from their stories? And how to basically like try, maybe even follow in their steps in our own way.
I like Paul, Apostle Paul. I like Apostle Paul. That is the one that there are two characters I like in the Bible. It's Apostle Paul and also David. I can put Petros, but these two, Apostle Paul and David, if you can look at those characters, if you can look at those guys, those two guys, their background before they met God.
Right.
Apostle Paul was a killer, was a destroyer of every person who is a carrier of God's word. But at the end of the day, what God did to Paul at Damascus, and look at Paul, how he was powerful after he met God at Damascus. So you can be whatever, you can be as bad as you are. And remember, my sister, God doesn't see ngolu hlobo thina sibona ngalo. UThixo akambona umuntu ngolu hlobo wena umbona ngalo. UThixo unendlela yakhe. I have a saying by every time by saying, when you saw a drunk man on the road, when you saw a prostitute on the road, mna nawe, we are sawing a prostitute and we finalize about those people. We are sawing a drunk and we finalize about them. But God sees a potential. God knows tomorrow what that person is going to be. I can finalize in my mind, but uThixo akaboni ngolu hlobo thina sibona ngalo. So this is why I'm saying I like these two characters, uPaul and uDavid. If you look at the characters of those two guys, and don't close yourself out and say, no, I can't make it, because at the end of the day, they made it. Even God says there is no man who I didn't see a man who has a likeness like David. But when you look at the story of David, don't cast yourself out, because God is always with us, and God will be always with us up until the last day on earth.
The Lord can take us from Paul to, oh, from Saul to Paul. He can take us.
Lot of characters. Rahab, you know the story of Rahab, that woman, he was a harlot. The woman who was a harlot and who did many things about her body. But look at what God did about that woman. So meaning that uThixo yena ubona, uThixo sees ngolunye uhlobo as thina we bose sisibona ngayo. So at the same time, uThixo yena iconclusion uyayazi ngoba ngaba by 2027 Elder Patrick will be like this, while the church saw Elder Patrick like this.
And I think it brings back to what you said about like not looking at each other's race and looking at each other's journeys. Because if we fixate on our own, we'll be able to develop.
Let's fix our eyes.
Yeah.
I like what you're saying. Let's fix on our eyes on him.
On him.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Elder Patrick, for joining me on the line. This was a very extensive discourse, and I appreciate the time that you took out, even though you are unwell. We appreciate it, and we hope that you do feel better throughout the rest of the day, and I look forward to
having a conversation
with you at another time. Thank you.
And you too. Please be safe. At the same time, take care. We're in this crazy season up until we see each other next year.
Yes. Good luck with the festive season, and may God bless you.
God bless you too. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. That was Elder Patrick on the line, and he was just joining us to discuss The Boys, a Bunker, and we were looking at his talents for God. If you missed out on that conversation, do not fret, do not worry. You can catch them on our podcasts, which are available on the AWR app as well as on AWR website. And don't forget, it is powered by SID Media. Thank you so much for staying tuned here on Mid-Morning Empowerment. The time has gone 4 minutes, or almost 3 minutes, to the hour, 10 o'clock. We are going to be getting into our music takeover. Remember, send through those song requests to 073-470-3520, and we'll be able to fellowship with one another. Thank you so much for taking out the time to stay with us. Do not go anywhere. Stay blessed. And don't forget to send through those song requests.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520, or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.